like that.
What killed the toads? It's the Ice Age or something.
Spam chops.
How'd you mind me now?
Hello and welcome to How Do You Like Me Now, the podcast where we go back and relive the golden years of kids' TV. I'm Will, with me as always is Liz. Hello, Liz.
Da, 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 da. Here I am.
Here you are, with me, together, again.
Together once again, yeah.
Together once more.
Obviously, we do spend time together, not recording the podcast.
Oh, yeah,
It's not a showmance. We have a real marriage.
We do live together.
Imagine if we were just married for the sake of the podcast.
Goodness me. I mean, I imagine there are people out there who've stayed together purely for their podcast.
I don't know about podcasts, but there's YouTubers. That's where things happen, Will.
Yeah.
The TikToks.
All the TikTokers.
All the TikTokers having their relationships that are just fake.
Well, that sounds you know, likely entirely. They're flighty, the youth, on their TikTok. He said, making a sweeping generalisation.
They're flighty, the youth. That's unbelievable.
If you're the youth and you disagree, come fight me.
You're going to fight the whole youth, are you?
Sure, yeah. The whole youth who listen to this podcast who know are going to come fight me. I mean, half of them won't turn up. They're flighty, Liz. They're flighty.
Well, that's absolutely
true.
I'm
doubling down on it. Anyway, Liz.
So this is a podcast about sweeping generalisations.
Always. Liz, this week we're back with the winner of our last pitch battle.
Yes, we are.
Now, our last pitch battle.
Yes.
We put this out to people. We wanted to do something looking at an original and then the remake of it.
Mm.
It's rebirth for the modern age.
Mm.
And you contrast and compare. Does one outdo the other? Do they hold up?
A sweeping generalisation. You know, reboots are never as good as the original.
Well.
We'll see, won't we?
We will. We'll test the hypothesis.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll also learn whether or not the youth are flighty. I don't know.
Don't think so.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk to any youth, are we?
No, not really. No. We don't go out of our way to avoid them most of the time.
Mm.
Anyway, so last time we were here, you pitched Scooby-Doo.
I did, and I felt confident. Honestly, I think Scooby-Doo is a classic.
It's a heavy hitter.
There's so much to be said about the interpersonal dynamics of that group. I have so many observations to make about the Scooby-Doo gang, and you know what? You're never going to hear them.
Because this is the thing. When we put this out to the people, it wasn't just a case of pick your winner. It was also, if people voted for Scooby-Doo, you were going to come clean and tell them which member of the Scooby-Doo gang you'd most like to Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
Absolutely I was, because let me tell you now, it's surprising. All right?
I mean, look, I think
it's got
I
the
know.
Dog. It's not that surprising. But I said then that I would not reveal it if the public didn't vote with me, and I stick to my word. All right.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's an opportunity gone to find out which member of the Scooby-Doo gang, out of Fred, Shaggy, Velma, and Daphne,
mm-hmm.
that Liz would go for. The flip side of the coin was I pitched Danger Mouse.
Yeah.
And
you said, I can't really remember why, that if they voted for Danger Mouse, I had to do research on frogs that live up mountains.
Yeah, yeah, because you said to me that frogs can live on mountains, and I said, I'm sure they don't.
Yeah, which was a ridiculous sweeping generalisation.
Well, that's on brand for this podcast.
So, do you want to get into that? Or should we save it for later? Because, strangely enough,
mm-hmm.
we have a frog in Danger Mouse. So, you know, I might just throw in some knowledge. I've got all this knowledge about frogs.
I like it. Just pepper the nostalgia with some frog facts.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how we diversify this brand. That's how we reach out.
Please don't worry. I won't be doing this level of research in the future.
Okay, well,
there won't be any facts in our podcast.
No.
You don't have to worry about that.
The sweeping generalisations will remain.
But they're not based on fact.
No,
just
not at all, not
stereotyping
at all.
And ignorance. Like all sweeping generalisations. Okay. Oh, that was a sweeping generalisation.
It's an epidemic of sweeping generalisations.
Even as I said it, I was like, no, back out.
Anyway, so Danger Mouse, the people spoke, the people voted. Danger Mouse is what we're going to look back at. So we watched the first ever episode from Danger Mouse 1981,
yep,
as we'll term it, and the first episode of Danger Mouse 2015.
Okay.
So right, this is two firsts we're watching this week, but 34 some odd years ago apart.
Which is how old I am. About to be. I don't think I've ever seen Danger Mouse until now.
See that?
I don't think I've ever watched an episode. I feel like, you know, you get some of it by osmosis. I knew about Penfold, and I think I had an image of Baron Greenback, and I'd sort of, you know, I'd sort of seen the characters, knew what it was, but I'd never seen an episode before.
Now, that shocks me, because this, and I normally, this would sound like another sweeping generalisation, but this was massive. Like,
I don't think so. I don't think it was. That's not a sweeping general. Right. Can we just stop saying sweeping generalisation? Please don't say it anymore. Right. And that's not what that is. What you're saying is hyperbole.
Well, I mean, it was.
Okay,
though,
tell me it was massive.
It was enormous. It was, yeah, it was massively popular.
I've been lied to this way before.
It was hugely, hugely popular. There was a rumour, I think in 1984, that it was the most watched program on television.
Right. This is absurd. Why are you telling me these lies?
With like 21 million viewers.
That can't be true. This can't be true. Why are you telling me lies? There's no way at any point in history more people were watching Danger Mouse than were watching EastEnders or Coronation Street or the FA Cup or the Grand National or what did people used to watch? Morecambe and Wise or Only Fools and Horses? There is no year in history where all those things weren't on and everybody just went, fancy a bit of Danger Mouse.
Well, like I say, it is a rumour.
But these things are provable. These things, there are records of these things from 1981. Why are you telling me lies?
I know, but they said this rumour is that that Danger Mouse in 1 year got 21 million viewers.
And it's not a rumour, it's a lie.
The Christmas episode of Coronation Street got 18.45. So potentially, if that could be borne out by fact, this is more popular than Coronation Street.
How do you have exact numbers but not facts? What is this?
This is the extent of the research I've been able to do.
What is it, a conspiracy theory by Danger Mouse fans that they've gone, oh yeah, yeah. Do you know what? Actually, it got 21 million viewers, but they fiddled the statistics because they wanted Coronation Street to be number one.
Yeah, I can believe that. No one in the 80s wants to admit the most popular thing on TV is a kid's show.
I can't.
There's enough problems in Thatcher's Britain. No one wants to be admitting further problems with a TV scheduling.
Don't try and be political. Dear, oh dear, what is happening?
But anyway, this was hugely popular, right?
Okay.
And the voice talent, let's talk straight away about the characters. So you've got Danger Mouse.
Yes. So this is David Jason.
This is David Jason.
And what I think is excellent about it is you told me it was going to be David Jason in it, but I didn't spot that it was him straight away. I think he's doing a great voice that doesn't, you can tell it's him, but yeah, it's got its own spin on it, you know.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing was inspired by like Bond and Danger Man, which is the old Patrick McGoohan series from the
60s. Yeah, see, I've heard of Danger Man, but I don't think I've seen that and I don't really know much about it.
But see, but this is the thing, this is like a spoof of that that's exceeded the fame of the original. So
yeah, I get it.
Yeah, so this happened. So this is what it is. So Danger Mouse does actually have a name, apparently.
All right.
Danger Mouse is his code name. It's Dennis Moss.
Dennis Moss.
Yes.
Right, DM, I get that.
Apparently in the pilot episode, it's revealed his name is Dennis Moss.
I'm glad that they just didn't bring that up. They just went, do you know what? We don't need Dennis Moss. Just drop it.
Danger Mouse, it's enough.
Mouse is fine. He's a mouse. You don't need it a real name. It would be really boring if you had to spend loads of time with the mouse in his like normal identity. You know, like you when you have Superman, mm-hmm, right? The Clark Kent scenes, like you need them in there to sort of show all his struggles with the real world and the dynamics of his two identities and whatever. I don't want to see what Dennis Moss gets up to. What's he doing? Eating a piece of cheese? I don't want to see that. No, not necessary. Glad they dropped that. What about Penfold?
Ernest Penfold.
Yeah.
Well, that is
that's
his
just
name.
His name.
That's his name,
yeah. They did have a great line. This is the one line that really made me laugh in this episode. They say his code name is Jigsaw, because if he's ever faced with a problem, he goes to pieces.
Yeah, I love that.
That's great.
This is exactly what is my kind of show, because it's got great little quick silly jokes like that.
Well, it has, and that line perfectly tells you what Penfold is about. Mm-hmm. Straight away, because they're introducing him right at the beginning, and like you get the character from that.
Yeah, definitely. Voiced by Terry Scott.
Yes.
Of Terry and June.
Terry and June.
And Carry On and various other things. There's also a couple of characters we need to discuss. Colonel K.
Yes, I wasn't familiar with Colonel K. What animal would Colonel K be?
He's a chinchilla.
Wouldn't have guessed that. No. I could see he was a rodent.
Yeah, well, a lot of people thought he was a walrus. Which
no.
I think you can get from the Tash. I didn't go to that. But then you'd ask the question, why is a walrus the same size as a mouse and a hamster?
Is Penfold a hamster?
Yeah, Penfold's a hamster.
Right, okay. Yeah. So it's just a rodent outfit.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's the rodent secret service.
Mm.
It's kind of like Basil the Great Mouse Detective.
There's definitely a Basil vibe. They say they're on Baker Street, don't they? The headquarters.
Yeah,
Did you spot that?
Yeah, it's there. Because his pad, though, is in Mayfair. Danger Mouse lives in Mayfair, but I think the Secret HQ is in Baker Street. Yeah,
Secret HQ. Yeah, yeah. So definitely, there's definitely a bit of Basil the Great Mouse Detective, which mm-hmm. I love. I think it's an underrated Disney movie.
It is. It massively is. I think it's an absolutely brilliant one. I'd love it if this actually was a continuation of that. Like, you know how they did like Kingsman, then Kingsman Golden Circle.
I don't know where you're going with this.
They're doing like a third one, which is the Kingsman,
and they're all rodents.
No, that would be a twist. No, but the King's Man is like the origins of it. Like, it's sort of set in the First World War. So it's going to be like a prequel.
That is an epic idea. All right, I'll give you that.
Yeah. So having Basil the Great Mouse Detective as the Victorian origins of Danger Mouse, wouldn't that be incredible?
I do actually quite like that.
Yeah.
No, I can get on board with that.
Yeah, and you know, Basil, and then his Watson-type character.
Yes,
I can't remember
yeah.
his name. He's, you know, he's... It follows on, yeah, Penfold.
Is it not Watson?
I can't remember if it's Watson or not.
No.
Because he's not Holmes.
He's not Holmes, is he?
No.
Is it just something like Watson, like Thompson? Or
it might be, yeah. It might
Johnson.
Be like Dr. Thompson or...
Oh, yeah. No, that's going to wind me up. Anyway. Don't write in, I'll have Googled it by the time you hear this.
Yeah, this isn't going out live.
Why do I say write in? I'm so old. Anyway.
But also the villain, the main villain, Baron Silas von Greenback.
Yep.
Yep. Both of those voiced by Edward Kelsey.
I know him?
Well, I don't know. And this, again, is going to be an older reference. He was the voice of Joe Grundy in The Archers.
You could have gone with a no. I don't listen to The Archers now, no. So I don't know. I don't know when he was in it. He's not still in it, is he?
No. He's
dead.
He's passed away now. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
Joe Grundy. I think he did it for about 34 years, and Joe Grundy was the one who always talked like that.
Oh, marvellous.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm not familiar. Good work.
Thank you. You've also got David Jason doing the voice and the narration as well. So he's narrating the whole thing. Which, yeah, it's great. And again, it's really rapid, quick narration. I love it.
And it does add to it. You know, it's interactive narration. Mm. More so in the update, actually, but
yeah,
still a bit of it in this.
So this one, kicking this episode off then, we're introduced with this
Can we talk about the opening?
Of course. Yeah, I was going to talk about the
opening. Okay.
I was getting there.
All right.
We're at this high action opening.
Okay. The opening sequence.
The last three words I was going to say there.
I'm so sorry. I thought you were going into the first scene and I was like, no, we have to talk about the opening sequence because I think it's really good.
It is. It's great.
I was impressed. This is in the, you know, like top 10 opening sequences that we've done on this program, I think.
And how would you rate the music?
Good. Up there. Yeah. Definitely. Do you want to do a bit?
He's the greatest. He's the best. Wherever there is trouble, he'll be there.
Yep.
Danger Mouse.
Yep. That's it.
Ba-dum. Yeah.
No, I loved it. I was impressed. I was impressed by the opening.
It's got a goal. Sets you up. A lot of bombs. A lot of those stereotypical circular bombs.
The big round black bomb.
They're
bouncing around.
They're rolling shot. He's diving out of the way at the last minute. And yeah, lots of explosions. There's even one in the title sequence in the actual Danger Mouse title. The O is a bomb.
The O is a bomb.
Yeah. So already sets this up. Expect a lot of bombs and explosions. we're into it then. It's a quiet corner of Mayfair. You get Danger Mouse introduced. You get Penfold introduced. And then it all kicks off because there's a knock at the door.
Mm.
And an Italian accent says, I have a delivery for you.
Mm.
And then two weird fish-shaped robots come flying into the flat, snapping away at Penfold.
I didn't think the shape of them was fish.
Okay. What did you think they're shaped like?
Sperm.
Oh, yeah. No, that's much more accurate.
They're black, but they are sperm. They refer to them later as tadpoles.
Right, okay. Oh, that makes sense.
But they aren't fish, Will.
Tadpoles makes a lot more sense, because obviously Baron Greenback's a frog.
Yeah, yeah, I get it, you know.
I didn't, till you just said tadpoles.
Oh, right, okay. Well, I like a villain with a theme.
Yep.
You know how everything Penguin has is penguin-related or mm-hmm. whatever. But the tadpoles thing was a bit impenetrable, because I just thought they were more bombs. But these were kind of like, you know, what do you call it? Target seeking. What's that called?
Oh, smart bombs.
No.
Homing.
Homing something.
Homing missiles.
Is that what it's called? Homing missiles. Yeah. Because yeah. they come in and they're like.
Yeah. And they're chasing after them.
They're like chasing.
Heat seeking. Is that the thing you're.
I don't bloody know, do I? I don't know. Oh, Christ. Obviously, I don't know what the word is. You can get a thing that it locks onto a target and it follows that target. And I don't know if it's homing or heat seeking or whatever.
Yeah, it's homing because it's homing in on the thing.
Okay, whatever. These things home in on Danger Mouse and Penfold.
Yes.
And they, yeah, I did not get that they were tadpoles, but they mentioned that later.
Right.
At the time, I was like, they're being chased by two giant black sperm.
Okay. And, I mean, they also, they're at the same time as this is going on, two also get delivered to Colonel K.
Yes.
Because he's getting a delivery at the same time.
Well, he's telling them, isn't he, on the video call, hey, we're having problems with all our agents getting deliveries of something dangerous. Mm-hmm. And then he gets one himself.
Yeah, he gets interrupted. I mean, I love the fact he's interrupted in the middle of the call, because who hasn't been there in this COVID era interrupted on a video call? And you have to go, sorry, give me 2 minutes. What is it? And nip downstairs. And
it's a heat-seeking missile.
It's a heat-seeking missile, yeah. Who doesn't, you know, who can't relate to that?
Well, indeed. Absolutely. Well, a story for our times.
So, they're off on their way. They're basically, they've defeated one. The other one has escaped out the door.
Yes, they chase it because, you know, they think it's going back to its base or whatever.
So, they quickly jump on the sofa lift, which takes them down. They get into the car and they're off. And amazing.
Good car, obviously.
Good car, great car, really cool car. You know, I always like the Danger Mouse car. Always surprises me that when you get those lists of, like, what, you know, the top cars from movies and TV, no one ever puts Danger Mouse's car in there.
Duh, what an oversight.
Well, yeah, people are always like, oh yeah, the Batmobile. No, Batmobile's got like one seat.
Yeah, possibly it's because the Danger Mouse car is just a car drawn with about 6 lines.
Yeah, but it's super quick. and later on, as we'll see, it can fly. It can do lots of other stuff as well.
Oh, in the update?
Yeah.
We'll talk about the update later.
Yeah.
So they're chasing this tadpole,
mm-hmm.
which we now know is Baron Greenback's.
Yes.
So when he sees that they're chasing it, he detonates it so that they can no longer chase it. Can I just mention, Baron Greenback, he is a frog or toad.
He's a frog, yeah.
Frog. And he has a little friend.
Yes.
In the manner of Jabba the Hutt, he has a little creature that's like attached to him or something.
No, it's not.
What is that?
It's a small white caterpillar.
A caterpillar?
Yes, because you know he's based off Blofeld, who has a white cat. So, because he's a small, he can't have a cat, because that wouldn't make sense on scale.
No, because a cat would eat everybody.
White caterpillar, yeah, that's a little pet.
I did not get that was a caterpillar. I genuinely thought it was an alien.
I mean, yeah, it's to be honest, I think it's hard. If you just drew a caterpillar as a caterpillar, it would just look like a loofah in the detail the animation we're looking at.
What?
It wouldn't look like anything, right? It wouldn't look like anything. So you have to do it with a slightly enlarged head that you can put features on, which doesn't make it look like a real-to-life caterpillar.
The lengths you will go to justify the shoddy animation of the 80s are unbelievable.
Look, hey, I've got something to say about the animation for this show.
Have you?
Yeah, a little factoid for you. This was massively expensive to produce. Episodes routinely needed over 2,000 drawings. So, to try and save cost, they reused a lot of footage, which, you know, is a standard practice there.
Yeah.
They also frequently had scenes that were either in the dark or at the North Pole, and thus in the middle of a blizzard, meaning the only thing we had to, like, animate were eyes and the eye patch. And wow. The scene in the dark is just the eye.
Oh, yes, because he has the eye patch.
Yeah, so it's just one eye of Danger Mouse and the eye of Everly's Viking.
See, we didn't get that in this episode, did we?
No, we
but
didn't.
But we did in the follow-up, which I guess is then just a reference, unless they're also trying to save money. I don't know.
Well, I think probably that point is it's just a reference.
Just a jokey reference.
Yeah.
I like that, though. I mean, you know, needs must and well, all that sort of stuff.
And the creator,
I'm guessing that's why in that video call, we don't ever see the bomb, the sperm attacking Colonel K. We just see him come back after he's had a fight. We hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are times when they're talking, but you don't actually get any movement in their mouths. Or, like when they're in the car chasing after the flying sperm, their mouths are obscured by the dashboard.
Right.
So you can just see their eyes, but you haven't got to have separate animation cells for each of the words they're saying.
To be fair to them, I think they've done a good job because they've cut those corners, but what you actually see is all good stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't, there was nothing that bothered me. There wasn't, like, you know, things changing sizes and all that sort of stuff, like looking shoddy and, you know, continuity errors. I thought all that actually was quite good, especially for this era and a British-ish production.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's this thing. The creator was very proud of that. He would tell everyone, yeah, that's why we did scenes in the dark and at the North Pole, because it was cheap.
Can I just mention the eye patch?
Yes.
Is that a reference to this Danger Man? So I'm sure I've seen Patrick McGoohan with an eye patch.
I think it is. I think it is.
Because
I
like that Danger Mouse has an eye patch, because too often, any sort of, like, disfigurement or disability or anything like that is given to the villain. And Danger Mouse just having an eye patch but being the good guy, I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah, and I think it reinforces his danger credentials.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that he could easily have lost that eye in dangerous circumstances.
Well, I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. He's running headfirst into things. He's not shying away from danger.
No. He's Danger Mouse.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. So they come tearing around the corner, and it turns out there's another robot now, which is a giant pair of boots.
Yes.
I really like the giant pair of boots.
Do you?
I do. I like it. Just, I need something that can squash these things. Well, I could just go with a giant, like, block. No. A pair of massive hobnail boots.
I wasn't a fan of the boots.
No?
No. But I think because I didn't understand that whole scene, because the boots come around to, like, squash Danger Mouse and Penfold, and somehow Danger Mouse instantly knows how to control them?
Well, I think what they are is they're army boots, and they have retained some knowledge of their former life before they were made into a robot.
Oh, what is this?
And so he barks army-style commands at them, and they obey and march themselves off the edge of a pier.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that, Will. I don't know. That whole scene, I was like, I've missed something. But I don't know what's going on.
But this thing, it's a quick little mid, you know, it's a quick little mid-run sort of peril bit. You've got your buildings. You can't go from the tadpoles to the massive robot at the end. You've got to have a mid-step. You've got to have that, you know, that bridge. And the boots robot is the bridge.
Yeah, so the giant robot is called Big Tom.
Yes. It is called Big Tom, Tomcat, I presume, because it's got a cat's head.
Because a cat to catch a mouse.
Yeah, of course, makes perfect sense.
Exactly.
It makes perfect sense. When I reflect on it, it makes perfect sense. And that has six arms and a variety of weapons. It's also piloted by one of the key henchmen of Baron Greenback.
Yes, this is another character I need your help on.
Yes, this is a crow in a trench coat with a fedora and an Italian accent called Stiletto Mafioso.
Right, okay. So presumably he's called Stiletto because it just sounds vaguely Italian.
Yes, I think so, and has an Italian accent. Interestingly enough, when this was broadcast in America, to avoid offending Italian Americans, they redubbed him with a Cockney accent.
Great.
Yep.
Like that. I love a Cockney villain, so I have no problem with that at all.
I just like to think there's an editorial decision of, okay, what stereotypical criminals wear Macs? Well, Italian gangsters, Cockneys selling things off the back of a van.
Exactly.
Spivs. Spivs and mafiosos. Those are the two people who can get away with fedoras and Macs.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Got to be one of those two. They're driving the car, dodging axe blades and maces and weird, like, circular saws and things like that. And then they kind of jump up onto Big Tom.
There's a jazz fight.
There is a jazz fight. And I was worried at the possibility of a jazz fight.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know why this happened, but some jazz started playing. And I've got to be honest, don't like that.
No.
Don't like that happening. No. So the jazz starts and then there's a fight. Yeah, I guess now I think about it, in terms of saving money on animation, a lot of this was very like they didn't have enough cameras to capture all the angles, but it's an animation. So it's a bit difficult. You don't need to know what's going on, though. You know Danger Mouse is going to win. He's the hero.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Of course he is. So this Big Tom thing also breathes fire. Mm. So he's like, and it's like, Baron Grimmark's like, pinch them off, which...
No. No, Baron Greenback.
Sorry, he says, pluck them off, you fool.
Okay, so pinch them off is from you.
Pinch them off is from me. I'd argue pinch them off is better than pluck them off. That's...
No, it isn't.
Well. Okay. You sure?
You don't use pinch anything off.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, just heard it now in my head. Yeah. Sorry.
You've just heard it.
It's not a phrase I use often, but then I've just realised.
Okay. What that's a... So pluck them off is fine.
I mean, it's not great. It's still not fantastic.
I was interested by the words, because we get the big, comic book style words appearing on screen, crash, bang, pow. There's also wump.
Wump, yeah.
A lot of wump.
A lot of wump.
More wump than you would expect.
Wump, I think, is an underused word in that context.
No, I don't think it should be used. Like, pinch one off. Don't want it at all. Kaboom, that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. But so this jazz fight dance thing goes on for a while, and then they manage to trick Big Tom into pinching closed the flamethrower mouth.
That's the pinching part,
That's
yes.
the pinching part. Big Tom explodes in the manner of a pinball machine, and they've saved the day.
Yes, they've done so well. It's quite a short episode, this, by the way. This is a 10-minuter, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas the update are like 22 minutes. So they manage to win this fight, and then Colonel K comes to congratulate them and says, "You've earned yourselves a holiday."
Yes.
Which is, I don't know, there's something very old school about these little scenes at the end where the heroes have done a good job, so it's like, oh, hooray, you've earned yourself this.
Well, this is, I think,
a little moment of levity.
I think it's a fairly recurring theme, though, that they always end up wanting to go on holiday.
Oh, right, okay.
Particularly, I think Penfold frequently just wants to get away from it all, which I can understand if he's in peril and he's not got the legs and the agility of Danger Mouse to defend himself.
And he doesn't like danger. Danger Mouse seems to be thriving on the danger, whereas Penfold, yeah, he'd just rather be on a beach, just, you know, supping on a cocktail.
Yeah. Many years ago, when I was at uni, I went to, we had an 80s cartoon themed social.
Oh dear, what a wanker.
I went as Penfold because...
Did you?
All I had to do was cut myself a pair of big cardboard specs, paint the end of my nose like sort of black with a felt tip, and put on a suit, and I was Penfold. And
you're the largest Penfold I can imagine.
Yeah, I wasn't going to be a to scale Penfold.
I'm just saying, like, I would have thought that generally when you pick a costume for something, you gravitate towards something whose physical being you feel akin to.
Well, I thought proportionally.
Yeah.
I don't fit the look of Danger Mouse. I'm not going to stick like a white onesie on and a utility belt.
I would not recommend.
Well, exactly. Yeah. This is the thing. You've got to bear in mind as well, a lot of these socials happened in the autumn winter. So it quickly became like a pick the thing that's going to keep me warmest when we're walking pub to pub. I remember we did an Under the Sea one once and I went as the seabed and I just bought a cheap duvet from Wilco and wrapped it around myself.
I've always thought you were a legend for that.
Yeah.
It's the smartest costume I've ever heard.
It was brilliant. There's one for your kids.
But for 80s cartoons, what would you have been better as in a costume? Let me think. What 80s cartoon do you most look like? Let me think about it.
I'll tell you, while you're thinking, I'll say some of the other... someone there went as Jem from Jem and the Holograms.
Nice.
Which is, and again, really good. She'd, like, done all the face paint and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else went as... I think someone else went as one of the Muppet Babies.
I'm trying to think of, like, a huge bear or...
Thanks. Thanks very much for that. Yogi?
Yogi?
Yeah, but Yogi...
Fred Flintstone.
Fred Flintstone.
It's not 80s. But that is...
You want me to go as Fred Flintstone to a pub crawl in winter, wearing just a leopard skin loincloth?
It's not a loincloth, is like it? Over one shoulder.
It's over one shoulder. I've got to have one nip out?
No, it's high. It has no nips.
It's got no sleeves. And he's barefoot as well. What are you doing to me, woman?
I'm just saying...
And I'd have had to shave.
How have we never done Fred and Wilma as a couple's costume when I had red hair?
I don't know.
It's pink now, but honestly, come on. How have we never done that?
Don't know. We definitely should have done that. You could do Gem and the Holograms now with the pink hair.
Very fat Gem and the Holograms. I should do, right, for Halloween, Gem, who's let herself go. The music business hasn't been kind to Jem. She's all washed up. Jem, she works in a Tesco Metro now.
Maybe I can go as Ice Age Fred Flintstone.
With a frozen nip.
And a heavy winter coat.
You just need a block of ice over you like a like Han Solo frozen in the
carbonite.
Yeah.
Why has no one ever done that? Fred Flintstone frozen in carbonite, but it's ice.
So many reasons. That's an obscure costume. That's so obscure. Nobody would get that, you know. Listen, I'm gonna blow your mind now.
Okay.
I preferred 2015.
Did you?
I really did. Honestly, it was too long. I don't see why we have to have 20 minutes. But I thought the jokes were better, the animation's better,
mm-hmm.
the voice acting's better. There are women in it.
Yeah, true.
I liked it better.
See, I mean, I think there's a lot going for it. We'll get into it. So first off, yeah, it is... 2015, obviously, the animation, like you say, is a lot slicker. It's now computer done, so they're computer done, like I'm in my 60s.
It's computer done.
They have it on computers these days.
They did it with an Apple Macintosh.
It's computer-generated imagery.
But also, the animation, it's very obvious that they have sort of learned all the lessons of the last, like, 30 odd years, because there are certain shots in it that are like from anime, like where you've got a character that's like whizzing and you kind of have them jump up into frame and then the background goes sort like of like
solid color with
solid
yeah
you know what I'm saying, don't you? That's like an anime thing to me, but it's become standard, you know, and so it has little bits like that that are just cherry picking all the best of animation from over the years.
Yeah.
And I was okay with it. I thought it was just good. I liked also that they kept some things the same. So the opening sequence, the music is just a remix. It's, you know, it's an update.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think I was a little apprehensive. I was like, is this going to be a case of just like Danger Mouse in name only? And
yep.
You know, you've got this and then everything else has changed. But I like the fact, yeah, it's kept that original thing there. It's still got a lot of the same sensibility and the same kind of jokes.
Absolutely.
And it's verging on like anarchic humour, which again, this massively popular. Hugely popular when this restarted.
Yeah.
And I mean,
I can see why, because I think the parents will be watching it as well.
Yeah.
And I always enjoy a kid show that has jokes that the parents will get.
Yeah.
I think it's great. And also, I don't think I would be the person I am now without shows that were made for kids that put those jokes in. Because the truth is that you do get them. Quite often you get them eventually. Like, as you're starting to get older, you're like, what's that about? I want to figure that out. It's like how I wanted to, you know, get into comedy. It was like, what are these jokes about? Why is this funny? Oh, I get it now, you know?
Yeah.
So, I love that.
Yeah, I think it's so let's get into it. So first off, we are introduced to London, and they say, you know,
great this
gherkin,
great opening,
the tennis racket, the house of cards, which I like a nice little showing
all
joke.
The yeah, showing all the like silly skyscrapers that London has, and the gherkin is the real gherkin.
Yeah.
And then the tennis racket is a literal glass tennis racket. And then the House of Cards is a literal glass House of Cards skyscraper being cleaned by a window cleaner. You know something's going to happen.
Yes. And Danger Mouse's car comes tearing through and destroys everything.
Yes.
It's destroying all of London.
Well, first up, can I just say that they very quickly establish this conceit of there being... like breaking the fourth wall, mm-hmm. because they say, and now with the first line of the new series, here's Penfold, and he goes, "Ouchies," ouchies.
I think it's ow chief.
I thought it was ouchies.
Oh, okay.
Like ouchie, but multiple.
okay.
Doesn't matter. It's a silly line, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, they break the fourth wall straight away.
Yeah.
So straight away you get that kind of kooky sense of humour. And then, yeah, you watch this chase with, like, chaos, and these three buildings get destroyed. The gherkin first, then the tennis racket just goes straight down.
Yeah.
And then the House of Cards, you have that moment of, oh, it stayed up, hooray. And then he just cleans it slightly more and boom, gone.
Nothing goes down. Ridiculous.
Classic. It's a classic gag, well delivered.
Then he crashes into the...
crashes
into the London Eye. The London Eye goes flying up into space and lands and basically hits an alien spaceship, creating a flying saucer. So the aliens then angrily turn their attentions towards Earth. Well, they're just watching and start putting laser pointers on. We then cut to inside the car and it turns out it's Penfold driving, which is why everything's going haywire, one assumes. And Danger Mouse is in space.
Yeah.
With a spacesuit on, and very quickly dispatches these aliens. Blows up all the weapons and then sticks a rocket and shoots them off into...
I don't think Penfold is driving.
Right, okay.
Penfold has been left in the car while Danger Mouse goes off and does this.
Okay.
And when he comes back, after all of London has been destroyed, he says to Penfold, that autopilot doesn't kick in quick enough, does it?
Right. Okay, so that, okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Yep, okay, with that, we cut back to a frog robot, which is...
Can I just mention?
Yep.
The car now flies, the Danger Mouse car, which it is an obvious update, right? Yeah. Cars now fly.
Yep.
That's just a thing. We saw it in Brom.
We did.
Remember that?
Yeah.
When we watched an up-to-date Brom. Or fairly up to date, still 20 years old. It flew. Brum
did.
Flew. Yeah. Brum shouldn't be flying.
No.
Danger Mouse's car, I was more on board with it.
I'm on board with the flying. I think,
are you? You're totally in.
Definitely. I think it's what takes him from being a domestic fighter of terror to an international fighter of terror.
Interesting. Right. Okay.
Because if he's just based on the ground in a car, there's only so far he can go.
Yeah.
Can you? Because this is the thing. Can you imagine Danger Mouse quickly? There's a problem over here. Ah, I get there quickly, but I'm stuck on the M1 behind a tractor.
Do you think that in the fight for international terrorism against international terrorism, that's what we need? Flying cars.
Yeah.
You think that would solve
it? Well, no, I just think if you're being faced with a villainous, like megalomaniac frog.
Yeah.
You know, you need every advantage you can get, and flight is one of those.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. That's all I'm saying. You know, it's not like flying cars in the scale of like Bond and you. You know, they're old hat. I mean, we watched Man with a Golden Gun the other weekend.
Did we?
You know, yeah, and Scaramanga's got that car. He drives into a hangar and wings stick into the side of it, and he's got a flying car.
Well, if you want to talk about flying cars, let's get on Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Well, yeah, okay.
Who wrote that?
Well,
Ian Fleming,
there you go.
Writer of Bond.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's it. And there's one buried not far from here.
What?
There's a Chitty Chitty Bang Bang car buried
not far from here.
Yeah, they buried it.
It used to be on the news when I was little. Why have they buried it?
Did you not know this?
I knew that somewhere around here was a Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I've never heard that it was buried.
Yeah, well, the designer who
They stopped
built...
working and they buried it. What is it, a transformer?
Yes, it transforms into wings and flying car. No, the guy...
It's not sentient, is it?
The designer who designed it... there's a blue plaque for him in Canterbury,
yeah,
in
yeah.
the garage he worked in. I think I heard a rumour they made like 4 or 5 of them, and one of them is buried at Beakspawn, not far from here.
Bury a car.
I don't know either, but one of them is buried. One of them is buried. I presume it's, you know, so it's.
Is it in a grave or a time capsule?
Well, I think. What's the difference? It's a car.
I don't know. Ask Tutankhamun.
Ask Tutankhamun. I would do, but they won't let me in the British Museum anymore. No. I don't know. Where, I mean, I presume it's, you can't call it a grave because it was never alive.
Well. Okay.
Sorry to offend anyone's jitty bang bang sensibilities. So, but then a time capsule suggests you're going to dig it back up.
That's what I'm saying. Are they going to dig it back up?
Well, I don't think so.
Or did they just go, we don't know what to do with this, but we don't want to smash it. We're going to give it a burial.
Yeah, they've buried it. I think because, I don't know whether it's because when the creator died and he didn't want anyone coming to him saying, oh, let's make another one.
Could, whatever state it was in, could you not get it to a museum? There's all sorts of little, like, museums that have cars and vehicles everywhere you go in Britain. Surely someone would have taken it off their hands. Whatever state it's in, it's better than burying it. Why would it be buried? Why would a car ever be buried? It makes no sense. I've never heard anything like it.
Well, this is the thing. They do this, though, with, like, film cars. I don't bury them all the time, but there were, like, 7 DeLoreans made for the Back to the Future film.
How is that the same? The only part I'm angry about is the burial. unless you're going to tell me they cremated a DeLorean.
No, but you think how iconic is the time-travelling DeLorean in Back to the Future, right?
Yes.
And there were 7 made, and they lost loads of them. They just lost them. Like, yeah, but 1 or 2 of them are held, like, on lots and things, and one, I think one's in private collector, one was blown up. But I saw a programme the other week where someone actually went looking for them all with Christopher Lloyd.
Oh, God, you watch some shit.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I do.
Oh, God. It's not the same as being buried. Things go missing, right? You can't track everything. It's not the same as having a car grave.
At least you know where it is.
I can't cope with this. How do they know someone won't dig it up? And so, you know, what, if grave just, robbing,
it's more secure,
sell it for parts.
It's more secure than if you put it in a museum. And someone's, I mean, think of the size of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. How long you have to be digging before you, I don't think it's like hidden in like a forest or something.
I
it's not like a medieval quest.
I can't talk about this anymore.
Okay.
I'm so angry there's a car grave.
Anyway, moving on. There's a frog robot loose in London.
You just in. Okay, yeah.
Everyone, and Danger Mouse assumes it is Baron Greenback's.
Of course you would.
Yeah.
Of course
you
would.
It's a frog. Turns out it's not. It's being piloted by Panda Minion, which I loved.
Yes, there's a panda in it.
There's a panda. And of course,
we're no longer bothered about scale.
No, not at all.
Just a panda.
Yeah, just a panda. That's...
And he says he bought it on eBay.
Yeah.
Which I like.
Reference, up to date.
It already feels a bit old hat. I already think there's kids that don't use eBay.
Well, this is the thing, it does.
It's all Amazon now, isn't it?
I remember hearing that thing years ago, don't put like pop culture references in stuff because it just really dates it immediately.
Yeah.
It's like watching the
other day. Bought it on Facebook Marketplace.
I was watching an episode of How I Met Your Mother earlier, and one of the guests goes, oh, I already put this on my MySpace. I'm like, man, that's just...
I think, honestly, the only thing that dates is you.
What?
Just sitting around watching How I Met Your Mother. It's not the noughties anymore, Will. Gotta grow up.
Man, why can't it be the noughties anymore? Sorry, you demeaning nostalgia in this podcast.
I've made a terrible mistake.
Anyway, so Danger Mouse is now chasing Panda Minion and destroying all of London in the process.
Are you saying Panda Minion?
Yes.
Because I thought it was Pandominium, as in pandemonium, but panda.
Well, yeah, but I thought it was pandemonium, but panda, and minion, because he's a minion of Baron Greenback. I just thought, I added an extra level that I thought it had. I heard minion. It could
be
minium.
Pandominium.
Is that pandemonium but on a miniature scale?
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
This is some depth in this.
The vowels are spinning my mind.
Okay, let's carry on. So while this chase is going on.
Oh, this is another pun, right?
Right.
Because we're watching a chat show, aren't we?
Yes.
Baron Greenback is on a chat show.
Yep.
And I thought instantly, I was like, that's a very American format.
Yes.
And it is, because the interviewer is a camel. He's Jimmy Camel.
Yes. Joe was not so keen on.
You're not keen on that?
I'm not so keen on Jimmy Camel. I like Pandominium.
It's because... Jimmy Camel.
Yeah.
Not Jimmy Campbell.
I said camel.
Okay.
I said Campbell.
Roll it back. You can. We're recording this right now, so you're going to, when you edit this later, you're going to hear yourself say something that's much more like Campbell okay. than camel.
All right. Jimmy Camel.
Yeah. You didn't like that?
No, I'm not so keen
Why
on that.
Why not? Tell me.
Because for my mind, for my money, it's not as clever as Pandominion.
I mean, that one doesn't even work.
It anyway. Does, though, oh, because he's causing pandemonium, yet he is a panda who's also a minion of Baron Greenback. Thus, panda, minion.
So, Jimmy Camel, I liked, I preferred.
Okay.
Although I don't like the creeping Americanization of our TV.
Oh.
I'm just going to say it. I don't know if they're wanting this to go to an American market, but we don't have those format of chat shows where the host leans on the desk and then the guest is way too close to them. I like the distance. You see Graham Norton? He sits far away from his guests. I like that. Make the guests clump up. But you don't lean in with a coffee cup and be like chit-chatting over a plant. No, don't want that.
No.
Anyway, right. Yeah, so Greenback's on the chat show to say that he's moved on from his goals of world domination. He's moved on, but he throws some shade, I believe people would say nowadays, and says that Danger Mouse hasn't.
Yeah, well, we can see Danger Mouse pursuing this frog robot, and without a care in the world of what it's doing to London, the destruction raging supreme.
It literally destroys all of London.
Yeah.
So that is quite bad, isn't it?
It is. I mean, even destroys Buckingham Palace, where Colonel Kay's hologram is being knighted.
Yes. The hologram, there are a lot of questions about that. We'll come back to that.
Yeah.
Because it's not a hologram in any sense. But yes, and the Queen is a corgi, I believe.
Yes. Which...
What else would she be, honestly?
Well, exactly. It fits in with what's going on with the rest of the show. So, yeah, so entirety of Buckingham Palace is destroyed. London is destroyed.
Colonel Kay says, you've destroyed the whole of London for a chair worth $12.99.
Yes.
I love that it's 99.
Well, yeah, that's just a great little detail on that. Anyway, it turns out that the bill to repair London and Buckingham Palace is so expensive that they've lost the headquarters. They haven't sacked Danger Mouse and Penfold. They're having to cut back. They've blown the special effects budget for the series.
This is where we get more of this fourth wall stuff.
Yeah, and I like this a lot.
It was funny. It was like, you know, you've bankrupted us, basically, Danger Mouse. So you're not working for us anymore. Give us your badge back. Loses his DM. And then we're so cash-strapped that the narrator's going to have to do the incidental music.
You get ready to go, dun, 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 not yet.
It's nice. It's a nice little.
It's a great little line. I like it. I like it a lot. And they're sharing sets with this lab now.
Yeah, so they just draw a black line and then there's a different set there. I love that. It was funny.
No, really good. So it turns out that basically...
This is when we meet a female character.
Yes, we do. We do. We meet... I mean, we haven't talked so far about the characters and the voices for this series. Do you want to...
Alexander Armstrong.
Love him. Danger Mouse. Great choice.
Tea time favourite of the Nanas.
Great choice. Penfold, did you clock?
No.
Kevin Eldon.
Kevin Eldon.
Yeah.
One of my comedy heroes. If you don't recognise the name, you recognise the face. He's been in everything.
Oh, he's been in literally everything. He's fantastic. So he's doing Penfold. Colonel K, obviously voiced by the great Stephen Fry.
Yes, Stephen Fry was really good. It's a sort of a Melchett role, isn't it?
Yes.
Sort of like Blackadder. Yeah.
It's a great piece of casting. Great piece of casting to have Stephen Fry there. The woman we're talking about is Professor Squawkencluck.
I didn't catch her name, and that's not a great name.
No. Well, she's a chicken.
Yeah.
They just refer to her as, if you couldn't get that from the name, they refer to her as Professor or Prof a lot through
Thank
this.
God, because they've given her a terrible name. Who's that then?
That is Shauna McDonald.
Don't know.
She played Sam Buxton in Spooks for a couple of series.
Nope.
Okay, no, I thought you were into Spooks.
No, never watched Spooks.
Okay, well, that's...
You thought I was into Spooks?
Yeah, I thought you liked Spooks.
Never seen it.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
Okay, well, I mean, I she's done other stuff, but I penned a lot on you having watched Spooks. That's the only one I wrote down. I was like, oh, she's in Spooks. Liz definitely watched Spooks. That's okay.
Why did you think that?
I don't know. I thought you'd watch Spooks.
Nope.
Okay.
Was your
sister in Spooks?
My family may have watched Spooks.
Okay. Well, there you go. I've learned something new about you today.
I don't know where you're getting this stuff.
Or I've unlearned something incorrect.
We are married. Yes. We have been together for 11 years. How old is Spooks?
We went out, celebrated our 5th wedding anniversary just the other week.
We did. How lovely.
The Baron is voiced by Ed Gorm.
Was he in Spooks?
He was not. Okay. He's mostly a musician. He's got a few voice credits, but nothing really I think you've heard of. Or maybe you have. I don't know you anymore. Who are you? The narrator, though, I know you'll know the narrator's voice.
I'm not sure.
Okay, you definitely know his voice. I mean, maybe if I say, this week we're going for meals in 5 people's houses in Derby.
Obviously he narrates Come Dine With Me.
Yes, he does. Dave Lamb.
Dave Lamb.
Yeah. So Come Dine With Me is the thing he's known big for. He's also the voice of the Aldi adverts.
Oh, I did get that the narration felt really familiar, but I wasn't focusing on who it was. And that, that's really good.
It's a great choice for a narrator.
Great choice.
Though. Great choice for a narrator. Because this is a bigger series, bigger budget, there are a load of guest voices as well that we didn't see that do turn up. So, I mean, some of the people who turn up do guest voices in here. Lena Headey, John Oliver, Richard Osman, Brian Blessed, Richard Ayoade, Miranda Richardson.
Yeah, you know, great people.
Great people.
Amazing.
Yeah. And that's kind of budget thrown at this now.
Well, I think it's a good show. I can see why. So the big like plot point about this episode is that because Danger Mouse now is thrown out of this organization and Baron Greenback says he's gone straight, essentially, they trust him with the safety of the entire world. And he has this invention, the safety mouse.
Yes.
Which is just instantly great because who would you want protecting you, a danger mouse or a safety mouse? On face value, you're going to go safety mouse.
It's brilliant. It's a great little twist.
It's a great twist. So these safety mouse robots are dispatched to protect every world leader, protect every important person, every country, every major city's got one. And they're essentially look like Danger Mouse, but a huge souped-up robot version. And they are made out of convenientium.
Convenientium, which, yeah, I like that.
Which is obviously adamantium, unobtainium, that whole genre of eums that are made up. And it's convenientium.
Yes.
And they also have a portable jail in the chest plate of the safety mouse.
Yep.
And toaster slots.
They do. They fire toast out from their faces, which I like. More things should fire toast across the room.
More things should fire toast. Haven't we said that so many times?
Yeah. There's few things I want in life. A tea's made and something that fires toast at me. That's
You want to go back to Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? You want to be Dick Van Dyke?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's it. I want convenience. I'll be honest, I really want a tease made. Like, I know I shouldn't. I know it's not the kind of thing I should want. And almost never I make myself a cup of tea first thing in the morning. But if I had to have an alarm clock nowadays, I would want a tease made.
Do you want me to just get you one?
No, I don't, because it's an extravagance and it'll take up the entirety of a thing. And I'm always like, what do you do about the milk? Because you can't just leave milk out all night. Oh, and if God. I've got to take my cup of tea downstairs anyway, I might as well make it downstairs in the kitchen. It's not like I'm going to have a cup of tea and then go and have a shower. You know, that's not what's going on. What I want, right, is a tease made that has, like, because I don't want to use UHT milk either, a little mini fridge and a tease made. At this point, I might as well just sleep in the kitchen because, you know, I'm starting to keep everything there for my morning routine, right? And that's going to be noisy. It's going to take up so much space in the bedroom, you know? And I mean, what about a spill? What about, you know, where am I going to wash the fuck? It's going to be with countless plates and mugs and everything else, you know?
It's like a conversation with Victor Meldrew. The one thing you want most in life is you can think of 50,000 problems with.
Well, yeah, this is what I could have got myself a tea made between now, you know, when I found out what they were and started drinking tea, and now I could have bought myself countless tea mates, but I haven't done because the pitfalls.
Countless tea mates? We could be living in a house made of tea mates.
But the pitfalls outweigh the benefits.
I don't know what to say to you. I honestly, like, you're insane. If you want to tease mate, just have, no, what I, you're saying is, what you are actually saying right now is you want a wife that gets up and makes you a cup of tea in the morning.
No.
I think that's what you're saying.
No. What I've done, right?
And apparently takes your cups down because that's a major problem with this system.
You know, I'd forget. And then it's, oh, I can trudge all the way back upstairs to do that. I tell you what it is, right? I've realised there's only one way I would get a tease made in this life.
Oh my God.
Right?
The thing that you most want, there's only one way that you'd do it, right?
That's the thing. I think I say I most want it, and then I realise I don't. There's other things I'd rather have. If I were famous and went on Richard Osman's House of Games and yes. won on a day when it was a prize, I'd pick the tease made. Right? That's the only scenario I can foresee in which I go, tease made, yeah, I'll have that.
So, right, in the scenario in which you'd have one is mm-hmm. that you've got to get famous,
yep.
Be asked to go on Richard Osman's House of Games,
yep.
hope that they have the tease made, which I don't think they do anymore. I'm a regular viewer. And win the game on that particular day so that you get the choice of that prize.
Yep.
And then you'll bring it home.
Yep.
But under no other circumstance.
No, I just don't.
What if you went on a regular game show and there was a tease made available?
Well, I mean, but would it look as fetching as the red and the Richard Osman like House of Games colour scheme tease made?
No, it looks like a regular tease made.
No, I'm not on board for it.
Good God in heaven.
Sorry, it's a quirk of mine.
A quirk? It's like, I don't know what to call it. Oh, you've mentioned this to me before, though. I know you really want a tease made.
I don't, though. This is the thing. What I want
You just
is,
want a cup of tea in the morning.
I want a cup of tea in the morning.
All
but
right.
not every morning. Just
I'll
sometimes.
Sleep in the kitchen.
Anyway. So, Danger Mouse has been fired. So he tried...
He's trying to get back on track. Listen to you trying to get back on track. Because we've gone so far down the tease made route, it's impossible to get back to Danger Mouse. Right, listen. Danger Mouse has been sacked.
Yes.
Right? We know this, we've said this.
Yes.
What happens when one of your characters gets sacked? They immediately have to get a new job.
Yes, they do.
So so he tries out some new jobs. He tries to be a barber.
Yep.
Doesn't work. Tries to be a traffic warden. We don't say that anymore. What do we call them now?
Parking attendant.
Parking attendant. Doesn't work out. Tries to drive a taxi. Doesn't work out.
No.
You can't drive people around in a taxi the way you used to drive those chase scenes.
No.
They don't
it.
Like it.
Yeah.
So that doesn't work out.
So he's still convinced, though, that Baron Greenback's up to no good.
Of course he is. Because he's your classic maverick.
Yep.
Right? He's been kicked off the force, but he knows. He knows that the villain's up to something.
You're a loose cannon, Danger Mouse.
Exactly.
So he tries to sneak into Baron Greenback's headquarters and has this whole thing where he's sneaking through laser beams and through sewers and past security systems and everything else, and then comes out of a manhole cover exactly where he left, where Penfold suggests they just take the tour.
So is it a tour of Baron Greenback's house?
I think it's a weird kind of mix of his house and also the factory where he produces the safety mouse.
Yes.
It's very strange.
What you're saying is you want to know more about where frogs live.
Sure.
Because I'm going to blow your mind right now.
Okay.
Frogs live up mountains.
What?
Now listen.
Lies.
Frogs live everywhere on the planet except Antarctica.
Okay.
A bit cold for them.
Yeah, imagine. I also think certain high altitudes would be a bit cold for them.
I think also, like, X-Men taught us this, what killed the toads. It's the Ice Age or something, isn't it?
What? You confused two movies there. You've confused X-Men when Storm says, what happens to a toad when it gets struck by lightning? The same thing that happens to anything else, which is a terrible line, but is terrible... Even more terrible because they cut all these other references that Toad had where he says all these things like, do you know what happens when Toad does this or Toad does that? They cut all those lines for time because it's a terrible film, right? And the other one you confused is Arnold Schwarzenegger in your favourite film, Batman and Robin, when he says, what killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age. So what you've done there is slam one bad movie and one really bad movie together... Confused three different characters and come up with with bullshit.
Can I just tell you, those two of my favourite exchanges ever in cinema, and I've just run them together in my mind. I think they've got the same energy. You know, they've got the same exact vibe, those two scenes. And so in my mind, there's only space for one. I just made it the same one.
You know, one of my favourite movie quotes? He's looking at you, you maniacs. You blew it up, kid.
Oh, God, these frog facts are so good.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a get to the chopper.
Please stop. I want to read you a fact about frogs.
Okay.
Because basically a frog can live anywhere there's water. So there's some sense in what you're saying. Like, obviously, lowland areas are going to have more water. Swamps, you know, rivers, whatever. Okay, there's some sense in what you're saying. But because frogs have been around a long time, they're very hardy. If as far up a mountain as there's water, they can go. So let me read you about the spiny frogs of the tribe Paini, right?
Okay.
They're often called stone frogs in China. Now, these are found in the Himalayas, because it's thought that they've been there so long that basically the mountains grew up and took them with them.
No.
Yeah. Like, genuinely, geologists know a lot about the area, but what they haven't been able to do is give sequence to the timing of the rise of particular mountain masses, particular ridges and pieces. We use these frogs as a surrogate for a time machine. Genuinely, this is from an article from Berkeley, where they're studying these particular frogs because...
To try and figure out how old mountain ranges are.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, the Himalayas, because that's where they're found. Right. I just want to read you one fact about these interesting frogs, because I've already proved to you that they're up mountains, and now I need you to know how cool these frogs are, right? When male frogs mate with females, they typically grab the female from behind in a strong grip known as amplexus. Though not all Paini have muscular forearms combined with keratinous spines like coarse sandpaper on their chests and forearms, those who live in fast-flowing streams do. Evidently, to prevent the slimy female from being whisked away during the sometimes hours-long amplexus required for the female to ovulate. Now, if that isn't the wildest sex shit that you've ever heard... Honestly, going into this, I was a little disappointed with Baron Greenback because I'd been thinking about these frogs with these giant muscular forearms.
And sandpaper chests.
Sandpaper chests. And I was like, oh, he looks a bit weedy. He's not as impressive as my frogs I've been reading about. The sometimes hours-long mating ritual, right? And they've survived that way for like thousands, millions of years, right? Doing it for hours. These slimy females wriggling away, with coarse sandpaper chests gripping onto them. Can you even imagine it? It's the dirtiest thing I've ever read. Amplexus. Dear, oh dear, oh dear.
Wow. I never thought this podcast would be...
Listen, you didn't let me talk about which is the sexiest Scooby-Doo gang member. But if you thought I was going to talk about frogs and mountains and not make it exclusively about sex, you don't know me at all. You don't know me at all.
There we are. Well, I mean, that's amazing. I don't know how to segue back now.
Well, let's talk about it. Okay. Baron Greenback, is he sexy?
I would say no.
He isn't, is he? There's no sex appeal there whatsoever.
The thing is, he's not even as intimidating as he is in 1981. In 1981, no. There's that gruff voice. He sounds like Blofeld or Dr. Claw from Inspector Gadget.
They've stolen some of his authority.
They have.
And made him less intimidating.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, his authority was compromised when he went on Jimmy Kimmel. But I think...
Yeah.
He's just not as fearsome as he should be. You know? It's like... I don't know. It's just... There's something about it. It's just not... Yeah. Not as scary as he... He should be more of an evil mastermind.
Yeah.
Rather than he's a bit bumbling and gets caught out by, oh, luck. He should be like, it should be like Moriarty and Holmes, you know.
Well, I think even if your hero is a bit rubbish, which Danger Mouse isn't rubbish, but he's, you know, he's just a mouse going up against, you know, whatever. But even if your hero's rubbish, your villain should still be incredibly intimidating and you just write them away to get past it.
Yeah.
Your villain's got to be nasty.
Yeah.
But he's a bit less intimidating in this one. I suppose they thought they'd just make it more fun.
Yeah.
But it is fun. There's loads of this, like, the narrator coming back and doing incidental and, you know, just like little callbacks and references. And it is funny.
Yeah.
They've seen these safety mice in the factory and Danger Mouse still can't convince anyone that Baron Greenback is not to be trusted.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still pursuing it. And eventually they end up at Buckingham Palace.
They do.
And the Queen says to someone, you can't park here. Which, you know, she's got a... I love the idea that the Queen's out there doing her own parking control.
Twitching neck curtains on Buckingham Palace.
Parked out the bloody front. Look at that.
Half of the sodding curb.
They parked in my drive. I'm going to go out and tell them. Do you think I should go out and tell them? I'm going to go out and tell them they can't park there.
So, but with Baron Greenback's plan revealed, we get something I was scared of.
Oh God, do right? we?
We get something I was worried about going into this, and I think I may have mentioned the pitch episode. We go to see the Professor and Colonel K, who it turns out are safe, because the Professor disguised herself as a standard lamp, and Colonel K stood behind a picture frame, confusing the robot and thinking he was a picture.
Yeah.
They give Danger Mouse his badge back, and they give him an eye patch back, which is now a smartphone.
Oh, yes, the eye patch, yes.
Now...
You didn't like that?
I didn't like that. I can't put my finger on exactly why I didn't like that, but I'm
like... You kind of need to for the podcast.
Okay, well, it feels like just a... It feels like it's the kind of thing where it's like a marketing meeting, like, we're going to have Danger Mouse of modern age, but what's modern? What are the kids like? Kids like tech. Let's give him a smartphone, but make it in his eye patch. Yeah.
See, I didn't get that from it at all. I think it totally makes sense that when you update him to now, you know, the old version, he had the car, but he maybe didn't have many gadgets. But now he's going to have gadgets, isn't he? And, yeah, to make the eye patch one of them doesn't bother me.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, it's not a deal breaker. I'm not, like,
all right,
casting it off or anything, you know, saying that this series is done. But there's a big fight after this.
Lights off.
Lights off. Yeah, big fight in the dark. Yep.
Nice classic.
Nice little callback where basically, and Baron Greenback is defeated. And
it's really funny as well because that he goes, haha, I'm going to fight you now. I've switched the lights off. With my night vision goggles, I'll have the advantage. And he's like, oh, shit, can't find my night vision goggles. Lights on. Okay. Grabs his night vision goggles, lights off. So all he says is lights on and lights off.
Yeah.
So presumably anybody could control that.
Yeah, I think so. But
his only plan in this is to switch the light. It's funny. It's funny to me.
It's funny. So, and Colonel K at the end says that it's all right because they've seized all of Baron Greenback's money, which has allowed them to build a new headquarters, have a 50-episode run, and their special effects budget reinstated. So,
an excellent wrap-up to the episode. Wrap-up,
because then you get the new headquarters, which is the post box from original...
Yeah.
Thing. It's, yeah, grand.
Brilliant. And they do that same old thing of there's going to be questions. What questions, you know, will be answered next time? But they're very funny because they're saying that a lot of the questions will be about the hologram, which, as I said, is not a hologram, so it doesn't make sense.
Yes.
It has a physical presence,
it
right?
It does. It loses an arm at one point.
And they say... Maybe it'll be a hard light hologram, which is something from Red Dwarf. I think that's the only time that has been in existence, hasn't it? And it is, can I just say, Red Dwarf is so good. And the hard light idea is fantastic. But yeah, you cannot explain the stuff that happens to Colonel K by using that.
No,
you can't. And they say our writers won't be able to answer all the questions.
Oh, I forgot to mention something.
Yeah.
Spam chops.
Beef flaps.
And same to you. There's a bit where Danger Mouse is looking up something and he uses spam chops.
Why are you saying that word?
Because that's the word it's called. That's what literally, it flashes up on a screen. He's like, oh, I need to find out some information. I'll search spam chops.
No. I can't believe that was on screen.
Spam chops.
I never saw
that. I'm going to screenshot it and I'm going to put it up. Spam chops. It's a thing.
You have to stop saying that.
Genuinely, I wrote that down separately because I was like, why is it called spam chops?
Yeah, because that doesn't seem to be a pun on anything.
No, it doesn't. I was like, I can't think of anything that's a pun on.
You're just going to be saying it to yourself now. Spam chops. What could that be? Spam chops. Sounds a bit like lamb chops, but that doesn't make sense.
No. I mean, it's not even close to cookies, you know, which is, you know, which is not even a browser. That's a term. But, ridiculous. Anyway.
Spam chops.
Spam chops. If you've got any insight onto spam chops.
Please do not message us.
Please don't write in. Well, Liz, there we are. That's Danger Mouse, 1981, 2015.
What question are you going to ask me?
I'm going to ask you two questions.
Okay.
How did you like me then? How do you like me now?
This should be what the show is about. We should be watching all the updates. I liked both. But I wouldn't go back and watch Danger Mouse, the original.
Okay.
I never saw it then. I have no real allegiance to it. And it was okay. The modern one, though, if I had to pick one, I would choose that. And if I had a child to entertain, I would say, let's watch Danger Mouse.
Okay.
Which people don't give me children to entertain because I'm not good with kids. but I thought it was really good. I thought there was a lot of good jokes in it. Very watchable. Love hearing all the actors that I know. And, yeah, definitely lines that are in there for the grown-ups and whatever.
Yeah.
And it has all the good parts of the original. So I like it okay back then. I like it even better now.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm actually going to agree with you on this.
Are you really?
Yeah, I am. I am. I think I knew 1980s Danger Mouse, really enjoyed it. And I think there's great things there. And I think on the evidence of this episode, the 2015 series has taken the strongest bits of it, incorporated them, in some cases built on them, but still, I mean, yeah, as soon as I heard that revised intro for the new one, I was like, okay, well, I'm on board with this. So far, this seems like a respectful updating.
Yes,
not a case of
absolutely.
Being everything's gone before.
Yeah.
This is there. So I'm yeah.
I am absolutely amazed because I first said to you about doing this, about watching something from our time period and then its modern day update, because I thought we were going to watch something and absolutely slate it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first thing I mentioned to you was Noddy, because Noddy in the digital version, I haven't seen it, but it looks terrifying. I don't want to watch it. But yeah, so I thought whatever they've tried to do in the modern era, we will absolutely slate because we'll stick with nostalgia and we'll go, no, this is rubbish. Absolute rubbish. But that has not happened. That has not come to pass.
No, no. I think it's the thing. I think on board for it. And I think that, yeah, there's a lot of attention to detail in the 2015 one that I think bears it out. You know, it could have very easily just been, okay, we'll take the characters and we'll just write whatever the hell we like.
Yeah.
But actually, there's a lot of that attention to detail. Clearly, there's an enjoyment of the original that the writers tried to put into it.
That is it. Yeah. They've seen the fun of the original and they're like, let's stick with that.
Yeah. There we are. There we are. An unexpected conclusion.
Unexpected.
From How Do You Like Me Now? This podcast celebrating the golden years of kids' TV.
Which are apparently nowadays.
Which would pick something from nowadays. Well, there we are. Liz, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We will be back soon with another episode. Until then, don't forget to like, rate, subscribe, share, tell your friends, tell your family, get in touch on social media, tell us what you thought of this episode. Do you think we got it right? Do you think we got it wrong? Do you think original Danger Mouse is better than new Danger Mouse? Or do you agree with us? Who knows? I don't until you tell us. Get in touch. We'll be back soon. Thanks. Bye!
We're going to go and get in an hours-long amplexus.